Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app. See?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily podcast on the Detroit Lions, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
I welcome in everybody, another edition of Locked On Lions for September 5 into 6 on the Locked On Podcast Network. We plate this dish on a Monday night, getting ready for another work week. For the Detroit Lions, it is the start of week one in preparation for the Colts coming up Sunday. Special 420 start, 425 start for the Lions and Colts in Indy this weekend. Matt Derry with you. Thanks for joining me on the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Lions, yes, you're listening on audioboom.com, on iTunes. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do. And check us out, fanragsports.com. All the articles, if you go to fanragsports.com and you go to the Lions section, go to the bottom, and you'll see the podcast is located there. Also, today's pigskin.com. And we bring this to you each and every day, and a lot of news certainly each and every day as we get closer to the first game, Lions and Colts. Hey, Jim Caldwell today was asked why John Bostic's in a walking boot. He wouldn't comment. Ooh, there is something about the Reverend Jim that I do like, the Lions head coach. That is, he refuses to talk about injuries. He did discuss the Lions' backup quarterback spot and semi-cleared up why the team is sticking with Dan Orlovsky over Jake Rudock. We'll get that to you coming up. Also, your tweets are always welcome, at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks. I'm going to read a bunch of those today in regards to the first topic that I'm going to touch on tonight, and that is certainly Rod Wood. Now, if you recall, it was last November, Rod Wood was hired, elevated basically, from the Ford family's personal financial advisor to president of the Lions. It's a very, very big move that the Lions decided to say goodbye to longtime president, longtime right-hand man of the family, Tom LaWand, and hire Rod Wood as president. Now, if you recall, when LaWand and Mayhew were blown out, one of the things discussed, and whether you were listening to Mike and Terry or Doug and Scott or whomever on the ticket, or you were listening to us at 105.1 when we were around back then, everybody discussed, oh, this is great. The Lions now need to hire a president, a real president, a head of the organization that is someone from the outside, maybe knows football, then he can hire his general manager and down the road. And instead, the Lions hired Rod Wood, and everybody went, oh my gosh. Is this like a classic SOL, same old Lions moment? The Lions have taken the Ford family's personal financial advisor, and they've turned him into a president. This is a disaster. This is horrible. And Rod Wood took a lot of shrapnel and a lot of heat for a while. Many people got on his case early on because they didn't know who he was. And I kind of asked a question on Twitter earlier today, and I got some interesting responses, and I want to get into this because Wood spoke exclusively to Bill Shea, very good article on cranesdetroit.com today, about the future of Matthew Stafford, Jim Caldwell, and really where the Lions sit from his eyes right now. And when I read this article today that Bill wrote, and it was sort of a one-on-one with Rod Wood sprinkled in with all sorts of things, I think we've gotten to the point now where most fans, and maybe you driving to work this morning or late at night, maybe you're like, you know what? Rod Wood went in studio with Ryan Errico for like an hour on 105.1. Rod Wood is accessible. Rod Wood is answering questions. And it doesn't sound like Rod Wood has anything to do with football, which was a huge, huge sticking point for the fans when he got the job. Because everybody's going, why is this guy the president of the team? And oh, by the way, when he got the job and said he wasn't going to meddle in football because he's just a fan, basically, that they would hire football people, Rod Wood went out with the help of certainly Martha Ford and the daughters and who even knows if Bill's involved, and hired Bob Quinn. And I've been on board with the maestro Bob Quinn, the general manager, since the hire. But I threw the question out today, like, are fans over it now? Are you finally okay with Rod Wood now? Because when he got the job, there was tons of apathy. Now, in this wide-ranging interview at cranesdetroit.com, which I tweeted out at Derry Speaks, if you want to read it, at D-E-R-Y Speaks, Rod Wood admitted, obviously, quote, "We're not going to listen to that chatter, but it's out there. We know that many people feel like the Lions have failed, Matthew Stafford has failed, and everything else." Now, as far as Stafford's future, Wood said he has talked with the Ford family, but not yet with Stafford. Quote, "When the time is right, we will talk to his representatives about it. We've made long-term plans in terms of what that means to the team's budget." A lot of the discussion, end quote, a lot of the discussion when talking players and certainly talking Jim Caldwell was Rod Wood discussing how this team wants to be, quote, "successful today, but having a foundation to be successful for years in the future and being fiscally responsible and anything else and planning for the future." So if there's anything Rod Wood knows, it's financial planning. But again, I like the fact that he's not sitting here in this interview discussing Stafford's release point or Stafford's film study. Rod Wood is just on top of the organization as a president, as a mouthpiece, and he's allowing the football people, at least from what I'm reading here, to do the football-related things. That's what I was looking for, and that's what I'm getting. Because originally, here's what else Rod Wood has done. Rod Wood knows that the experience is not just winning football games. And for a lot of you, and for me included, I want to see winning. Okay, you can paint the end zones blue. You can hire and coach up new cheerleaders. You can add new food items. You can finally give my good friend Tom Mazzaway the Wi-Fi that he's been looking for inside that stadium, which it's been so subpar for the last few years that fans are blowing through their data at games and they can't connect and they can't text friends across the aisle or across the stadium. They can't make calls out. The Wi-Fi has been bad. But one thing Rod Wood has at least admitted, and he talked about in this Cranes Detroit article, is that, hey, we've got to upgrade all of these things. We've made some changes. He acknowledged his lack of football experience and is engaged in a crash course in running an NFL club and has befriended Carolina Panthers president Danny Morrison and Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy. Kudos. Kudos to Rod Wood for doing that. Because, again, I think a lot of fans, and a ton of them called and texted him when he got the job to me, said this is a huge mistake. He doesn't know what he's doing. At least this guy's not coming in saying, I'm going to sit in on the coaches' meetings. Instead, he's reaching out to Carolina's people, Green Bay's people, and trying to learn, which not a lot of CEOs or presidents want to do and want to admit to doing. By the way, I got to remind you to check out Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson on the Locked On Podcast Network and also Locked On Fantasy with Vinny Iyer. These guys are doing great shows. You got to check them out. These guys are doing awesome shows all over the Locked On Podcast Network. You got a fantasy draft coming up. Maybe the next couple days, Vinny will help you. That is the Locked On Fantasy on the Locked On Podcast Network. Okay, so back to Rod Wood. Focus on the fans. One thing he said to Bill Shea, the main thing I'm focused on is improving our fans' rating of us. I'd like to see us continue to improve how the fans view the experience of coming to Ford Field. The more they enjoy it, the more likely they are to come back, to become a season ticket holder if they're not, or renew if they are. If we don't have a great relationship and rating by our fans, it's hard to deliver all of those other things. Now, I will be the first to admit, when I go to Lions games, I'm usually up in the press box. I've gone to a few games in the stands. I have found the experience to be okay. I think that their video board's a little bit behind. I think some of their technology has been a little bit behind. But, you know, one thing that Rod Wood has said is they have to make some changes. And they have. When it's come to the end zones, jazzing up the Wi-Fi, fans wanted the cheerleaders. There was always that rumor out there that Mrs. Ford would never accept the cheerleaders. Now they have cheerleaders. They're looking to do other things. And they're looking to spend some money to do those things. And at least Rod Wood is admitting that. But here's the bottom line. As long as the team wins and Rod Wood stays out of the way and the experience at the games is still pretty good, that's all I think you care about. You're driving in your car right now, heading to work on a Tuesday morning after a long weekend. What do you want me to talk about on this podcast? You want me to talk about the team. You want to hear me say, hey, I think this team might have a chance. Hey, I think this team might be getting better. You know, that's what you're looking for. But instead, the business aspect and Rod Wood and what was in Cranes and the improvements made at Ford Field is a part of it when you're in a year of observation. I'm sorry to tell it. This is just my opinion. Lower the bar a little bit, Lion fans, for this season based on what is on the field. Now, I do believe it helps that Teddy Bridgewater is out for the year for the Vikings. I think that will help. I do think the schedule's a little bit soft. That might help. What also might help is a big year from Stafford and certain other guys, a Marvin Jones, a Golden Tate, a Ziggy Ansah, a Darius Slay, a DeAndre Levy. Those guys are all Pro Bowl caliber players. If they play to expectation, this team will maybe linger around a playoff spot. That would be great. But I'm not holding my breath. Not with this offensive line and this head coach. So with that being said, and knowing that it should be a year of observation for Bob Quinn to decide who stays and who goes, which I have no issue doing. Fans, you've been patient 58 years. What's one more? The experience in the stadium is also pretty important. If you're sitting on a broken seat as a season ticket holder and you're not comfortable and you're not getting a customer service person over to you if need be, if there's some sort of drunkard in your section screaming obscenities around a bunch of kids. If your Wi-Fi is not fast enough, you can't load up your fantasy team on your phone. If the food selection hasn't gotten any better. If the stuff in the store isn't better. If the cheerleaders aren't offering what you're looking for. That stuff that Rod Wood is at least admitting, hey, we're on top of. Because yes, the two exhibition games which have already been played and the eight regular season games, it's still about the experience. I think second to the winning. But I think in a year of observation, that is something that is semi-important. So, you know, people's thoughts on Rod Wood, and we'll read the tweets right now at Dairy Speaks. They've sort of been mixed, but I threw the question out there, and I thought it was interesting to get some response. Couple of responses coming in at Dairy Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks on Twitter. Tiggs 111 says, how could they have a positive opinion yet show marked improvement than maybe? So far, to me, would or not, this is same old Lions. Dave Page writes in and says, let's see how he reacts to the product on the field over the course of a season. It's too early to tell. Hashtag same old Lion. Everybody's doing the SOL thing. Brett Scott, I can appreciate that Wood understands the product needs to be better on the field. He gets why they are criticized. That's one thing I've liked about Rod Wood. Rod Wood hasn't been defensive. Rod Wood hasn't said, we're going to be great. If you recall, Tom LeWand said a couple of years ago when they asked him about playing that quick lane bowl at Ford Field, he said, not only do we want to have the quick lane bowl here, but we want to eventually have another Super Bowl here, and we're playing in it. And everybody went, oh, wow, Tom's saying we could be a Super Bowl contender. Well, you're listening right now saying, can we pump the brakes on that and just win a damn playoff game? Rod Wood isn't making any grandiose statements. So, all in all, a lot of the tweets were pretty mixed. There were a couple I can't read because you guys are just angry, and I get that. Apathy is pretty high right now for this team. A lot of you are not expecting a lot from this football team. All right, Jim Caldwell earlier today, and I touched on this earlier, and I wanted to get to it here this evening. Jim Caldwell today was asked, and it seemed like he was pressured by the reporters, and good for them for doing that. The reporters pressured him on the backup quarterback situation. A lot of you want Dan Orlovsky gone. You've had enough. You've seen enough of Dan Orlovsky, and you wanted Jake Rudock. And again, in case you've been gone all weekend, Jake Rudock was first released by the team, didn't make the 53-man roster, and now is on the practice squad. So he will not be available for games unless they elevate him to the active roster. Today, Jim Caldwell defended his decision, but couldn't pinpoint really one reason why he's picking Dan Orlovsky over Jake Rudock as a team's backup quarterback. And again, as I noted yesterday on the podcast, and you can listen to it, if this is the biggest issue we have with the Lions this year, then that's good news, the backup quarterback. There's other issues, pressing issues, especially at starter, you know, on the offensive line, at linebacker, at safety, etc. We take everything into consideration, Caldwell said today. Practice, games, meetings, that evaluation is wide and broad and just not a couple of different instances. But one thing we do, we got all three that are here. They're all getting better, and we're excited about that, end quote. Lions, of course, kept Orlovsky, threw a couple of pick sixes in the preseason. Didn't look good, hasn't looked good. Jake Rudock did look pretty good, and of course, he's a local guy playing at Michigan, so a lot of the slaps out there are rooting for Rudock to be the backup quarterback. But listen to what Caldwell had to say on why they picked Dan Orlovsky. He's certainly, quote, one of those guys that's been around, understands the league, understands what he sees from a defensive standpoint. He's played in games, has experience under his belt. There's a number of different things. He's an outstanding leader, just to name a few. Just to name a few. End quote. My thoughts on this? Pretty simple. Dan Orlovsky is Jim Caldwell's guy. The team likes him. Caldwell likes him. Had him in Indianapolis back in 2011 when he started five games. And he's not very good, but he's the safe play. He's likable. Tell me what Jim Caldwell said about his ability in that quote. He's been around. He knows the league. He's played in games, he has experience, and he's an outstanding leader. Did I hear anything about him having great touch on the deep ball? Did I read anything about, man, he eludes tacklers and he has a great feel for the pocket? Was there anything about his arm strength in there? No. Nothing. So while Bob Quinn made some pretty bold moves the other day in cutting Gabe Wright and Alex Carter and Caron Reed, all players that have played in the league, Alex Carter to an extent, but he's a third-round pick. Those were bold moves. Those were, this is my house, and this is how I'm going to arrange it, and those Mayhew guys, those chairs can go into storage. Those can go to the Salvation Army. That's not a real high vote of confidence to the fans to talk about how a guy that's, well, he's played in games and he's been around. Me, if Stafford gets hurt, I want somebody out there that has ability. And the quotes I'm reading from Caldwell aren't exactly glowing about his ability. Well, he's played in games. There's always that one guy at work. Well, he shows up every day. He's a grinder. What does he do well? Shows up every day. He understands the job. That's what it sounds like with Orlovsky. Every office has that guy that, but 2-3 years, you go, how does he still work here? Gosh, he's slow at this, or he can't manage that, or gosh, he's kind of incompetent. But he shows up to work every day, right? Oh, he's there when you need him. He's an outstanding leader. Can he throw the football? Stafford gets hurt, this team's in trouble. And I think Rudock should at least been on the active roster and competing with Orlovsky day in and day out for the number two quarterback, John. Special guest tomorrow on Locked On Lions. You'll want to tune in for that. It's a Monday into Tuesday, September 4 into 5 on the Locked On Podcast Network. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst. Catalyst.